right, welcome to another episode of the DevOps Fundamentals series. Today the topic is continuous integration. I'm Thiago Almeida, as from the other episodes as well. You can follow me on Twitter at NZThiago, and this is David.
Hi, yep, senior technical evangelist focused on DevOps.
Cool. So, do you want to take us through your idea of DevOps and where it fits in?
Yeah, you know, high level, we watched the opening intro about what is DevOps, but where we're at right now and how it relates with continuous integration DevOps practice, it is roughly around the develop phase, right? So after you've figured out what are we going to develop and you start to do some coding, at that point, continuous integration is really relevant, and we'll get into what that is in a second. But naturally, dev and ops should be involved across the entire life cycle to really be doing DevOps. CI is a little weird for an ops person, right? To be honest, an ops person is kind of like, huh? CI, you're checking in code? What? But we'll get into that here in a second. So yeah, let's move on to the next one. So just to kind of position, what is DevOps practice? How does it fit in? You know, we've given you in a previous module the high level overview of what is DevOps. And at a 200 level, you know, it's these DevOps practices, continuous integration being one of them, connecting that with individual technologies. There are a ton of different ways on how you could go and implement continuous integration. We are going to show you, of course, Visual Studio Team Services as kind of the backbone to enable that. But certainly, we have a lot of possibilities. As you can see on the slide, you could use Jenkins, connect that to Visual Studio Team Services. You could use GitHub. You could use different version control systems, even TFVC or Git. A lot of possibilities, a lot of combinations that we have out there.
Yep. Yep. And at the 100 level, one of the DevOps practice or the idea that we have that sort of fits in with continuous integration is the continuous delivery. So it's one part of that that flows all the way through.
Yeah, it's a subset of continuous delivery, for sure.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's dig into continuous integration a little bit more.
Okay. Starting with the people down there. So what role would a dev and an ops person play in this overall process? We'll get to that here in a minute, but I would say an ops person, you know, should be at least familiar with this and get the output of the build, in this case, of the continuous integration. But at its there's kind of a, I like to say, a loose and a strict definition of continuous integration. And the kind of liberal definition of continuous integration some people point to is you check in some code into source, and right after you check that into source, a build happens. Now if you click again here, we can see that also you get a little now one step closer to the more conservative side. You're going to also run some form of tests, and there's even more things if you can continue down the path of being more strict or more conservative on continuous integration definition. I would say, in my personal opinion, I would say that continuous integration at a bare minimum should include checking in code, doing some unit tests, and that's like the minimum bar.
Yeah.
But really, what's this going to help you with, right? This is going to help you to accelerate your delivery. So there's no longer, you know, I've been to companies where they have somebody whose job is to do the build. And you ask them maybe, oh, do you have automated builds? Well, yeah, we have a script that automates them. Well, how does that work? We have somebody who goes and does it. Well, then it's not automated,
yeah.
Right? It's not automated. So, you know, you don't want the person to be the bottleneck here, and there's a ton of systems to help with that. It's going to help you really, you know, accelerate your delivery and have a repeatability experience. And so at any point in time, if anybody wants to know what's the code that was checked in, did it work or did it not, you have the latest build. You have, everybody has access to the latest build or bits of the application.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another part of continuous integration, or I guess another extension to the definition, is that you would have to work with this accelerate delivery value is you would have a build that is ready to go to production. Of course, it doesn't have to be every check-in for every feature that every developer is working on, but having the mindset that quite often, or even at every check-in, depending on at what stage you are in, you would have a build that has been built, tested, and you know it's ready to be taken through the stages and go all the way through to production. So if you look at the other module that we have, continuous the deployment and release management, that's the what happens after you have continuous integration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, in terms of what types of tests, there's all kinds of tests. I would say right here is where you should have a unit test. Typically, that's what people put in here.
Yeah.
You technically could have other tests. It's possible, but not likely you would do much more than unit tests in this space.
Yeah.
And in terms of measuring that, I'd say the most important factor here of you know, once you've implemented this practice, what you would know has changed would be the lead time. And lead time being going from new feature to that feature is in customers' hands in production, this is going to help with that, right? Because if, you know, for instance, if you have a manual guy waiting on there, that's going to slow your lead time down, and that would be one part of the overall systems thinking that would help the overall picture here, right? And then meantime, MTTR, mean time to repair, would be like you've got a quicker way to do the build to push perhaps a fix into production. You know, you could push out a fix faster. That would be another way.
Yep.
But, yep.
All right. So, yeah. Like the other episodes, it's demo time.
Yeah, let's see it.
Okay. So, I'll go here and go straight into a Visual Studio Team services that we've been using with the Parts Unlimited sample. And one thing that you can do on the build tab here is create new build definitions. So if we create a new build definition here, right from the start, you can see we have some templates. So I'll use, for example, Visual Studio and the repo type. So I'll leave Git, the repository, and the branch. So if you're a developer that you're working on your own branch, or you're a feature team that you have to have your own builds before it gets merged into the main branch, you can choose which one you want to build from. And then finally, you can click the continuous integration tick box. So if I click create, that's it. We're done with the show.
Okay, that's it. We're all finished.
All right, thank you. All right, no, we were just kidding. There's a lot more to it than that.
So as you can see, continuous integration has changed quite a bit over time. And that was an example of people thinking that they can just check a box and be done. And perhaps if you really want to use the extremely liberal definition of continuous integration, then okay.
Yeah.
But but there's a lot more to it than that, right? I mean, for testing, for instance, being one of them. So
yeah.
Maybe you can show us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so here in the definition that it created for us, you can definitely add a whole lot of different build steps. A lot of them are test related. And of course, if you have XUnit, NUnit, or MS test types of testing, you would run them from here. At the build stage, you can do not only Visual Studio based or MS build based ones, but all sorts of builds like Gradle for Java and Grunt to run some task runners for your JavaScript code, mm-hmm. and Gulp, et cetera, and Maven as well for even more compiling and building.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing, at least the way it is right now, that's not very obvious is that you can, any of your different test frameworks like Mocha or JUnit or other things that you may be using, there's not at least today in the time of this recording, there's not a task that says that exactly. But if you look at some of those open source tasks such as Gradle, you'll notice that there is a option there to say export your tests up into our test system in JUnit format. So as long as your tests using those other types of frameworks output the tests in JUnit format, it should do the test through the core framework Gradle, you know, or Maven such as,
yep.
And then the tests will get surfaced as well as part of your CI build.
Cool.
Yeah.
And of course, here we have a building on a solution, so you can choose which solution file you want to build. This is for the Visual Studio one. And also at the end, you just publish the build artifact. So this is for you to use when you go to the next stage, when you're doing actual releasing into environments and et cetera of your build. Another couple of options here, there's quite a few options, but one is what we saw when we created this build definition is to actually enable continuous integration. And you can, again, choose which branch. So, for example, if I come into Visual Studio here, go into the branches for my code, I could create a new branch. I'll create a new branch based on that one. So new local branch from here, call it Tiago CI. So that's something that I'm working on separately. I'll create the branch, it created it locally, and then I can also sync it up, sync this branch up with the server side. So now we should see that new branch here under code. So I'll leave that definition there for now. And on the list of branches, I have my Tiago CI, which is just a copy of the other one. And you can see it saying that this build was never built. So now we can go into the build tab again and create a build definition that is based on that that branch. So instead of master here, I'll just choose Tiago CI, do continuous integration to build at every check-in, create that, and I'll choose my solution file because this has a couple of solutions inside. Click save. Call it Tiago CI again. And now I have my own personal build definition that will kick in every time I commit to that branch.
Yeah, you did something there that I think is important to maybe do a little bit quicker of a deep dive. And that is that if you have in your source code a ton of different things under a single source code repository, a kind of a general best practice is to think about what's the smallest deployable unit that could be delivered independently that adds value to an end customer or user, right? And that's going to help you. If you figure that out, that's going to really help you to accelerate your delivery. It also has a lot of ties all the way back into your team structure, your development structure, the whole core of people, DevOps, right? Of having an ops person support different aspects. So there's a lot of stuff, and even though he said, hey, let's just build this one solution, there could potentially be a lot of rework in what you just mentioned, depending on how things are structured. And if you've got this monolith, you know, huge repository thing, that's probably gonna be a bigger thing you might need to tackle.
Yeah.
You know, before you talk about CI. I mean, certainly you could do CI and have it build 15 solutions or whatever. but ideally, to have things a bit more streamlined, reduce your build times and a number of other things, you're probably gonna need to think about that for sure.
Cool. So just to finish that part, if we make a small change here, this here is a discount of 90%. I think it's a little bit high.
We'll go for it. So let's do it. Let's see it.
Let's do 100 and just give
there
it for
we go.
Free then.
Yeah.
So I'll save this. And once I commit this change, so look at changes, it's showing, you know, a changed or a massive discount. I'll commit this and push to the server. That should send it up to our branch. And if we go here and have a look at the builds for Tiago CI, it kicked off a new build for that definition that we created. Mm-hmm. The next thing I wanted to show is branch policies as well, because this comes up quite a lot, is if you go to manage the project and have a look at version control, under here, under the branches, I could click on my main one here, that's what I'm treating that one as, and go under branch policies. And I say, whenever someone creates a pull request against this, queue this specific build, right? And it'll block the merge if the latest build did not work.
Yeah.
So it's gonna try to build it, and if it fails, it's not gonna actually do the accept the pull request.
Yeah, this effectively is like a gated check-in, right? And yeah. When you are, you know, we kind of have been dancing around this, but if you get into a real conservative or a strict, I may say maybe even more of a textbook definition of CI, one of the things that you're gonna be doing is you're going to be checking into trunk every day. Everybody checks into trunk or mainline every single day, and everybody, you know, that's going to fire off builds, right? If that is the behavior that you're doing inside your organization, then that is something that you probably don't want people checking in builds that checking in code that breaks all the time.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, when you're in that behavior, that's going to be extremely important that you have something like this to do the test before you allow the check-in.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty important that you get that. But I will say that mindset shift of checking in the code every day, that's a muscle that you have to really build, right?
Yeah.
It's not something you can snap your fingers and be like, I'm just going to check in every day. Especially if you're like, I build this feature for 2 weeks and then check it in, right? It's a bit of a shift, but it's a really important one that I'd say really goes beyond probably the scope of this module, considering we're talking about fundamentals. But it's at least something you all should be at least aware of and start to think about as you think about CI.
And if you want to get to that nirvana of deploying to production every day with changes that the team is working on, this is definitely the first step, the first mind change to implement.
Absolutely.
All right. So that was it from the simple demos, unless you wanted us to cover anything else. But from the demos perspective, this was it, kicking off a build based on branches, branch policies, and changing the mindset of your team to always be ready to commit to every day to the main branch and be ready to deploy to production every day.
Yeah, and you know, also write tests, right? So if you don't have unit tests, that's also really important, right?
Because,
especially if you adopt this mindset, because you... Sure, you could check in every day, and then if you don't have any unit tests, who knows if something broke or not, right?
So in our sample here, on the main branch here, for example, there's a few runs of the continuous integration build. If we go and have a look, we can see there were 36 tests that passed. Of course, that doesn't really cover the whole thing. It only covers 2% of my code.
So that's where code coverage comes in too, right?
Yeah.
It's saying, not that you have to have 100%, but if you have, 1% of code coverage, then there's probably...
You need to write a few more tests.
You pay now or pay later, right?
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, right, with testing is do you want to pay once it's in production or do you want to pay up front here where it's fairly fast to get things fixed?
Yeah.
Because there is an overhead when you try and fix... Overhead and a cost when you try and fix bugs in production versus the developer just was working on it, just fixed it, and he fixed it right away before it causes problems. So... pretty important to do that early.
So if you're watching this module now, make sure to also check out the one on continuous deployment and release management, because the output of the build that we were working on now then kicks into release management later. So check out that module that I recorded with Donovan.
Yeah, absolutely. And then maybe you can show us the resources for other folks if they want to dig in and start to play around and learn continuous integration on their own.
Cool. So we have this resources list here for you. The one I always call out is the one at the end, Learn DevOps Practices with Hands-On Labs. So the Sparks Unlimited Simple that we have a list of different hands-on labs that you can follow. And both for this one, the simple that we're using is the .NET version of it, but we also have an open source Java and Linux-based one as well.
Yeah, so you can do continuous integration with a Linux VM using Grunt and Java, or use the Parts Unlimited where you use .NET, both connected to Visual Studio Team Services.
Yeah.
So check that out if you want to get your hands working on implementing this thing yourself. And keep tuned for watching the rest of the series. So thanks for tuning in.
All right, thank you.